Okay, we now continue. Now that we had a general understanding of the prohibitions, the Gemara now continues. Vekama shiur korcha. What is the measure of a ball spot? What's the smallest measurement that when you pull it out, you are chayiv? So, that, according to the Ritva, we're referring to that which triggers the malchus liability. In other words, you're not allowed to even pull out one hair over grief over a loved one. Even one is prohibited. Remember, there's two things. There's the prohibition, and then the liability for lashes. They're not always the same thing. Torah says you can't do this. Fine. You know, for example, you get lashed for eating treif, but you have to eat a shear. You have to eat a kazayas. What if you don't eat a kazayas? Is it permitted? It's not permitted to eat less than gazayas of treif, but we can't lash you for it. So that's the whole question. What's the minimal amount pulling out your hair to create a bald spot when you're showing mourning over someone? How much you got to pull out to get lashed? So Rav Huna, it's going to have a bunch of opinions. Rav Huna Omar, Rav Huna Omer, Kidei Shiira Merosho. You pull out enough so that the skin of the head appears exposed. If I'm going to pull out one hair, you ain't going to notice anything. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 hairs, I'm going to say. Be enough that you could see from a bird's eye view, ooh, there's a little hole over there. There's a little skin over there.
Is there a statute of limitation? If I pull one hair out,
well, if you eventually pull, it would depend if it's with it. I could be. Doesn't matter. So the Ritva gives two interpretations. Those who explain it stringently as teaching there is liability even when the exposed flesh is evident only upon close inspection over the head. And those who say liability only when the exposed flesh can be seen from afar. Like if I look at him, oh, I see you got a bald spot over there. So that's two different interpretations exactly how much has to be. That's opinion number one. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Kigris, the size of a bean.
Whoa.
A bean. Okay. We could skip the next brackets, or we could say it either way. Kidetnoi. And this machlokes is like a tanoim's machlokes that says, Kamashir Korcha, how much is the size of that? Kigris. The size of a bean. Others say that you could see that the head appears to be exposed. Honestly, I'm not exactly sure which one is worse. I mean, which one is more?
Why is it saying Achrim again?
What?
Rav Huna said Shiur Merosho. Why are we saying again Achrim?
We're saying Kitanoi. This Machlokas Amoraim is the same as a Machlokas Tanoim. And now they bring a Machlokas Tanoim that preceded it. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure which one is more than the other. The size of a bean. I guess the bald spot has to be the size of a bean, so that would be a larger amount. The other one's saying any amount. The other one's saying it's got to not just be any amount, it's got to take up the size of a bean. Okay, let me just get it ahead over here. Now the Gemara's going to say there's a third opinion. Amar Yehuda Amar Bar Chaviva. There's really three Tanaim who argue. The two we already have, and one more. Chadamar 1 says, Kigris, the size of a bean. Chadamar Kdeshi Amarosh, others say, to you see any bald spot. Chadamar Kishtei Saras, one says the size of two hairs. Okay.
That's crazy.
So that's just two hairs. Just pull out two hairs. That's all. You don't have to creep, you know, that, even though it's not officially bald. But it's balding it.
With the witness, with the thing, okay.
It's everything's like, yeah. It's every time in the Torah.
You know. If you pulled up one from this side and one from this side.
I don't know. It's a good question, Shelley. The Ika, and there are those, the Mapka Shtesaurus, some of them who take out the opinion of two hairs and put in a different size. Umeil, and they put instead two hairs, kadosh, the size of a lentil.
Smaller than
how? But look at this: a lentil is four hairs. Now, what's that mean? That between a bean is nine lentils.
Yeah.
it.
36 hairs.
Okay, so you see the difference. A lentil, if it's a bean, is 9 lentils, and a lentil is 4 hairs. So a bean is 36 hairs.
Oh,
it's already bit more. Okay, anyway, and if you want to have a mnemonic device in order to memorize all these opinions, the Simon Eich and the sign to help you remember all this, we say like this, Baheres kegris umichya bichadasha. A Baheres, it's a pasuk, I think. It's a quote in the Mishnah in the Goyim. A Baheres, the size of a bean, and a healthy spot the size of a lentil. Okay. Anyway, this is a well-known quote from the Mishnah Nagoyim. I guess you're all familiar with Nagoyim. Just as the Mishnah mentions both bean and lentil, so too the amended version of the Tanakh dispute mentions both bean and lentil. Okay. So therefore, we amend the version the amended version lentil replaces two hairs, but doesn't replace the bean opinion. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole thing with lentils and beans and saras. It's just a mnemonic device to remember it. That's all. Okay, let's move on now. So now we're going to have a related idea discussing in another area this minimum size of the bald spot. Tana, we learned in a brisa regarding Hilcha Shabbos. Hanoitel mole pi hazug b'Shabbos. What is something? Now we're talking about the malacha of taking something out of the ground. There's a malacha of harvesting. Now, harvesting is usually in a field, but you could harvest hair from your head. What if you pull hair? Are you allowed to pull hair out of your... Forget about mourning, anything. You just want to pull a hair out of your head on Shabbos.
No.
You can't do that, because that's plucking it out of its root from the head. So it's a malacha. So the question is, how much of it... Now we're talking about now bringing in Korban Chatas, if you did it unintentionally. So how much would you do unintentionally, and you'd have to bring a Korban Chatas? In other words, what's the minimum amount of pulling out that you're chayav for? So Hanotel Mole Pi Hazug B'Shabbos, someone who removes a scissors tipful of hair on the Shabbos. Okay? Chayav. You're chayav to bring Korban Chatas, you did it unintentionally. That's the minimal amount that's considered shearing. So we're talking about the malach of shearing, not plucking fruits, but let's say you shear an animal. So you're shearing the head off your hair, so hair off your head. So how much you have to have? So you say a tipful of the scissors. Okay, so now the question is, so how much is that? Vekama, how much is that? Mole piazug. So they're asking, Vekama mole piazug. And how many hairs are considered a scissors full tipful? Rabbi Yehuda says, Shtaim, two hairs. Wait a minute. Vahatanya. But we more execs. But we saw in the same Braisa, it says lekorcha shtaim. In other words, the brisa that says minimal shiurim, it says, okay, what's the minimal shiur for cutting your hair on Shabbos? Well, a tipful of the scissors. And we suggest that it means two hairs. But then it goes on and says, the brisa there says, and what's the minimal amount for a bald spot or for someone who died to be chayav for that? So it says two hairs. So why would you use two different expressions to say the same thing? If you're telling me a tipful of a scissors is two hairs, and pulling out the bald spot, clearly it says two hairs. So why didn't it just say on both of them together it's two hairs? Must be the scissors full is not two hairs, right? Or it seems they're saying two different amounts, right? So if you're saying, well, this is a tipful and this is two hairs, well, it's implying the first one's a tipful isn't two hairs. Gemara says, no, let's amend the brisa. Ema, just make one little correction. Vechein, and also, say, and also lekor chashnaim, and also a bald spot is two. So now it's defining what scissors full is. And therefore you get like that. So it comes out, it's two hairs, the same as that.
I'm kind of confused with scissors. Like scissors would just cut part of the hair.
So how much do you have to cut? How much you have to cut with a scissor? So he's saying two hairs. Two hairs is the minimal amount of a tipful.
If you cut like, you know, an eighth of an inch of two hairs, is that what we're talking about? Two hairs.
I guess you just cut two hairs, a little bit of two hairs.
I guess so.
It's a bald spot.
I guess so.
I see, like you cut a quarter of an inch.
If you're cutting two hairs, it doesn't matter how much you're cutting. Once you've separated one part, from you've cut it off. So a tip full can cut off two hairs. It's not the same criteria as a bald spot. The aver of a bald spot is what's considered a bald spot. I guess cutting two hairs. Again, you have to know what it means. Even well, two hairs is whatever that size would be. So same thing basically. Italianami Hakov, we have a brisa that supports this idea. A brisa says, Hano tel mole pi hazug b'Shabbos, someone who takes out a scissors tip full hair out on Shabbos, chayv. And the brisa itself asks, Vekama mole pi hazug, and what's a tip full considered? Shtaim, two hairs. So that's one opinion. There's a machlokas, how much you're chayv on Shabbos. Even if you cut off one hair, which is less than a scissors tip full. So that's a machlokes, Tanakama and Reb Eliezer. Now, or we'll call the Chachamim, Umodim. But however, listen to this there. The Chachamim will agree to Reb Eliezer that in some cases, even one is Chayv on Shabbos. And what's that? When you take one, B'malakad Levanos Mitoshras, when you take a white hair out of dark hair on Shabbos, then even Afilo Achasu Chayiv. If you take one, you're Chayiv. Why? Because the guy doesn't want to look old. So then, remember, the holy of Shabbos is it has to be a significantly thoughtful activity that is prohibited. So I say, well, it's got to be a minimal amount. Okay, two hairs a minimal amount. The other rabbi says one. But a rabbi will say, but if you take one white hair out of black hair, and because you probably only had one, right? So that's significant because now, I have a perfect black hair. I'm youthful again. So therefore, that's when the one will be equal, right? So that works out like that. And frankly, Vidover said, to knock out one white hair, I feel a b'cholasser. You can't even do it on weekday. It has nothing to do with the Aver of Shabbos. Mishum Shenemer says, Yilbash Gever, Simlas Ish, a man should not wear woman's garments, which means he shouldn't try to do things that women are doing. And women, they care to look young. A man is not supposed to care to look young. Hang on. Okay. So in other words, we're opening up a can of worms. What does the Torah mean? A man shall not wear a woman's garment. It's meant that men and women, as much as God created them different, they must dress different. Not like in today's world where you could see some of them in the back, you see a ponytail sticking out and a very skinny body build. You'd figure in the old days, 60 years ago, that's for sure a woman. Yeah. Now, who knows what it is? I can't even say a man. It could be there's about seven other ways of describing a person's sexual gender. So, but you understand the wisdom of the Torah. The wisdom of the Torah says a man and a woman are different. Yeah. And they're different roles. Everything, they're equal but different. So one of the ways you got to show it is they have to dress. Look, what happened first? Bisexual, transsexual, cuckoo sexual, or they're wearing transgender clothing? What came first?
Transgender clothing.
Exactly. See what's going on. If we can wear the same clothes, we could be the same people. You see the brilliance of the Torah. You think in 1965, whatever, all people say, I'm not a woman, I'm a man, I'm both, I'm bisexual. You know, who's idiots to say such? Don't even have a havamina to say that. But when they come up with transgender clothing, okay, so now, man, we wear the same clothing. Once you wear the same clothing, then you start cross-dressing, this and that. Then the outside makes an impact in your mind. The Torah is genius. So it's saying you don't do things to look. When you see a person, that's a man, that's a woman. So again, there's general rules of dress. You're going to say, well, yeah, but 3,000 years ago they wore togas. And is that fine? But what is the commonly way people dress? In a way that demarcates men from women. There has to be styles that clearly demarcate between a man and a woman. Okay? And whatever, so and obviously Jews have to buy what clothes are available. It's not like you have a choice. But you, and if the secular world shows there is no distinction, then the Jewish world has to say there's a distinction and declare what the distinction is. And you have to go to the rabbis to tell us what that is. And therefore, so the rabbis have told us that a woman wears a blouse and a dress, and a man wears a jacket, suit, and pants, or whatever. Clearly, there's a way to dress. You could tell that a man's a man and a woman's a woman. You're going to say, yeah, but nowadays they make pants for women. Shkoyach. That's not the way a woman's supposed to dress. That's already issues of modesty, this and that. So there has to be clearly delineated different clothing. Beyond that, it's also how we keep up our body. Okay, how we maintain our body. And a woman generally is keeping her body to look more youthful, and a man not. And therefore, a man, when he wants to pull out the gray hairs, you know, it means you want to look youthful like that. That's not the way a man takes care of himself, so to speak. And therefore, and so then this interesting Shilas. What if there are shilas like this? People ask, well, now that I'm in the competitive market, if I'm looking old, I won't find a job. So the answer to that is two answers. Well, the answer is like this. To many of these types of questions, what do you believe in God or not? Now, you can't legislate belief in God. Remember, you cannot legislate it. What I mean legislate it, you can't force a person to believe in God. And therefore, if a person says, I really believe in God, 100% believe in God? Really? Yeah, I do. Do you believe your parnasa comes exclusively from Hashem? 100%. Doesn't matter what you're really going to do. As long as you make effort, you're going to, it's up to Hashem. Then that rabbi will say, you can't dye your hair, you can't do anything, because Hashem's going to give you the parnasa. Right? If you really believe he's going to get, you're going to get the parnasa better if you dye your hair? If the guy is very weak in his emunah, and he's going to have a meltdown, and he's going to go nuts, then say, okay, for you, we can give a leniency. But it's not, you know, like in many other areas in life when there's questions of emunah. All right, same thing. So, but generally speaking, if it's not a parnasha, or unfortunately nowadays, you have people, it's a reality now, people are just not mentally healthy as much as they were, mentally strong as they were before. It's just a fact. And there's a higher percentage of very weak people. And if a person they're just not able to have emunah the way they should have emunah. And therefore, the guy, if I'm not gonna look young, I'll commit suicide. Like, you know, that there are people like that. They really are. If I'm going to look old, I can't live, and they're going to be depressed and this and that, and it's going to be like a clinical state over here. Okay, we don't want the guy to go nuts. Okay, so make yourself look younger. But that's like bidyeved. It's like last resort. But a normal person, a man should be happy as a man. A woman should be happy as a woman. A man should be happy as gray hair and welcome the gray hairness or the baldness or whatever else you are, and welcome that. Well, a woman, it's her innate nature, and more than that, because she has a husband who wants her to look young, and if not, he'll start fooling around with the secretary. So therefore, we have to make sure the woman looks a little bit more presentable. That's a woman do and men not. That's a basic. If you want to go deeper than that, that's beyond the scope of a Gemara class.
The king has a haircut every day.
Because the king represents the royalty, represents, so to speak, Hashem. And Hashem has to look good every day. In other words, the king, he's not doing it for looks. He's doing it for the office that he holds that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The king's job is to enforce God's law in the land. Even though the Sanhedrin also is, but here's the difference. It's like this. Let's make a comparison to government here. You have, let's say, the Supreme Court. The Parliament. They make a law, yeah? Okay, now what if nobody enforces the law? They make a law, let's say they increase taxes. Simple thing. They say, oh, we're increasing 5% tax. So comes along one of us, say, to heck with you, I'm not paying. So now, if there's no way of enforcing it, no one's going to pay. But there's something called the army, the military, the police, and the IRS or CRA calls you up and say, you know, you didn't pay your 5%. I know, I don't agree with the law. I don't agree with the law. It's crooked. They're all kidding. That's very nice. There's going to be a man coming to your house who's going to put you in handcuffs and put you away. So you need to have a king. So where's the source of all that power, that military might? So, you know, so it is the king. The king's job is to enforce everything the Torah says, not just in a negative way, but in a positive way, too. You have to give Bikurim. So the king himself should be the first one to give Bikurim. Any positive mitzvah, he buys the first lulav and esrog, whatever. And he buys a nice one. So everyone's looking up to the king to what we're supposed to do. And it's sort of unfortunate, but human nature is that people respect people who are good-looking, strong, tall, this and that. So even though he's a tzaddik and everything, but, you know, there are the masses out there. You know, half the people who get elected to office is only because of their looks. Charm. You know, and their charm and all these things. Now, in the Torah, we don't do anything of that. We do it because they're Torah leaders. But to be a king, generally speaking, you know, he's got to, at least to the one's ability, you have to comport yourself like a king because you're representing God's malchus. So it's God's representative. So first of all, you have to be humble. You have to be kind. You have to have all the good midos. You have to be a Torah scholar. All right. But then you should also be a handsome fellow as much as, you know, as possible, obviously. So therefore, if you pull out one hair and any day of the week, then you've transgressed. I mean, if it's for the purpose of bedafki, you want to look young. Now, if you're trimming everything, let's say you're trimming your mustache. No, so you got a few white hairs in the mustache, but you're trimming it just so it's trimmed, then that's not a problem. But if you're bedafka pulling it out, so therefore, like men coloring their hair, dyeing their hair, should not be done. In other words, you have that's the halacha, and that's the hashkafa. This whole idea of looking young, and remember, there's two differences between looking young and being healthy. There's two things. The Torah says you have to be healthy. You have to do what's in your capable to be healthy. What's that? Whatever the doctor tells you, exercise 3 times a week, lose your weight, face, all these things, that's a mitzvah. You have to keep yourself healthy. And you should act young. You should do things bezrizus to the ability you have to walk quickly, do a mitzvah fast, a jump in your step when you're doing mitzvahs. That you have to be young that way. But to look young, that's the opposite. Welcome the fact that you're getting older. And because why? It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that soon you're going to Olam Haba.
Why do women have to look young? What's the reason for that? Why can't they just be this natural?
The rabbi gave you two reasons.
Because that's their tchuna. That's the nature that Hashem put in them. And there's a reality. They're married to men, and men are big yetzaras. Men have big yetzaras. Let's not deny it. There is a yetzar. Obviously, you see what's happening with every politician in the world. And there's not one exception. Right, so okay, if your wife looks presentable, then she's presentable. And if she's wife doesn't take care of herself and looks like a schlump, so you know it's not her fault. She's married to a guy, and that's the way guy. Man. All right, so if you're big tzaddikim, if you're Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know, then what do they do? The holy Haredim Eretz Yisrael, they don't wear shaitels at all. They wear just kupkas, you know, tickles, and that's it. So that's just the general idea. Okay, questions, comments, we can move on. Yeah, I give a good explanation, everything. So now it's the two dots. We move on to the next. These all little mini sugyas here, like little line and a half here, line and a half there. Next set, prohibition of the Mishnah, v'amakif pas rosho, one around the corner of the head, that's the two temples over here. So Tana Rabbana, the rabbis explained in a braisa, pas rosho, what does it mean, the corner of the head? It means sof rosho. It means the end, the extremity of the head. And remember, he said the hair grows on. There's head hair and facial hair. So the extremity, the bottom extremity of the head hair. Okay, now they ask, Vezel Sof Rosha. So what does it mean, the end of the extremity of the head? So it clarifies it, and we showed you the picture yesterday. Zahamashvet Stodov La'achrov Ozno L'padachto. The one who evens his temples with the hairline behind his ear and the hairline of his forehead. The normal forehead, not my forehead. Right? So the forehead was usually here, right? And the forehead is up to something like that, right? Something like that. And then there's the beard hair. So now if you're cutting it to even it out and there's nothing below that, that is the transgression. The temples are located between the ears and the forehead, right? The forehead and the area behind the ears are both bereft of hair, whereas the temples do. Now, let's say behind your ear, there's no hair, right? The forehead has no hair, right? No hair here, no hair there, but there's hair here. So rounding it off is, okay, here it's blank, here it's blank. So let's just even it out, all right? That's rounding the corners. Then is removing the temple's hair, so there's a straight hairline from the forehead to behind the ears. Okay, there's a dispute between Rishonim, exactly how much hair must be cut off to be liable. One opinion says at least 40 hairs are left on the temple, etc. Fine, those are just discussions there. Tanya, Tani Tana Kameda Rav Chisda, a teacher of Brises, taught the following Brises in front of Rav Chisda. Interesting halacha. Now, you go to the barber, and the barber cuts off your payas. Have you transgressed?
No.
That's an interesting discussion. Is the prohibition for you to cut it off, or for you to go that way? So let's see. So it says like this. Echad hamakif, whether you're the one who does the rounding off of the payas, v'echad hanikif, or you're the one who's just been rounded off, like you get lashed. What question you have on that?
The barber did it. He may not even have the intention.
Let's say you said it's okay. You could do it.
Okay, that's a different thing.
But you still have a question.
You have to warn each one of them.
Let's say you warn them, but there should be another question bothering you.
They're both Jewish.
Okay, let's say you go to Shloimeh's barbershop and say, give me the Greek look. This is during the time so it's coming to Hanukkah. I want the Greek look. Okay, Greek look coming up. Then comes in Rabbi so-and-so. No, Greek look, that's prohibited. You barber, you the guy, you can't do this. Now, they both get lashed. What's the problem? There's still a problem. One guy shouldn't get lashed based on a rule that you all know. What's one of the rules? You don't get lashed if it is missing what?
Positive.
What? An action. An action. What's the guy doing sitting in the chair?
Nothing.
I'm not moving.
Yeah.
So that's what Gemara says. Amar Lehi, he says, man, the ochel tamri, ba'arbali lucky. If someone eats dates out of a sieve on Shabbos, does he get lashed? What's he mean? This is a rhetorical question. In other words, let's say if you use a sieve on Shabbos, let's say to sift things, you get lashed. But just if I put a fig in a sieve and eat it, oh, you used a sieve on Shabbos, we're going to lash you. But he didn't sift anything. It's just a rhetorical question. In other words, what did the guy do? He didn't do anything. The one whose corners were rounded didn't perform any act. Therefore, shouldn't be liable for Malchus, right? That he didn't do any action. Therefore, Rav Chisda instructed the teacher. The Amar Lach, the one who told you money, whose opinion is being reflected in the Braisa, must be Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Lav Shem B'Maisa Lokin Lav. But guess it has that Braisa. Remember, we said there's a Machlokes in this. General opinion is you have to do an action and get lashed. Rabbi Yehuda is the singular dissenting opinion who says even if it's not done with an action, you get lashed. Right? So I guess it must be like that. Opinion. Okay.
The action is
so,
like the barbershop.
What?
The action is with the barber. Well,
so then the barber for sure would do it, yeah, because sure, he's cutting it. Right? Let's take a look over here. The Torah says, Lo sakifu pas roshechem. The words lo sakifu also can imply you shall not allow the corner of your head to be rounded.
Yeah.
For the acquiescent subject of the rounding is equivalent to the one who performed it. Alternatively, sakifu is written in the plural sakifu, you shall not round. This implies Torah's warning both participants, the subject of the rounding as well as the one who performs it. In any event, according to both explanations, the subject of the rounding has violated this prohibition without performing an action. Thus, in Rabbi Yehuda's view, he receives a prescribed penalty. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it will fit in, but not according to other opinions. So, okay, but that, I guess it has to be like that. Now the Gemara is going to argue, no, maybe the Braisa could even go like the majority opinion. Even if you hold that not doing an action, you don't get lashed. Maybe you could go like these other opinions. Why? Because it could be Bimaki Flasa. What if you cut your own hair?
Oh, you make a mistake.
The one who rounds the corner of his own head. Okay, so that's how he gets it. Vidivre Hakol. It's according to everybody. But that's kind of weird because it seems to say two people are getting it. It says whether the one who did the haircut or the one who received it. But the second shot will be better. Rav Ashi Omer b'mesayeya b'tongue, where the guy is helping him. When the barber says, okay, move to the left, move to the left, move to the right. Right? Every barber tells you to move a little bit. So now you're assisting him, right? So once you're inclining yourself, that itself is an action. V'divrei HaKol, and that will go according to all the opinions.
How can you be a barber now? Filoni comes in and says...
You can't. So if you're a barber, you're a barber for Charedim. You can't be for a Filoni. That's why, or you partner with a Goy.
So they have...
Let's have a Goyish part. So, I don't know. So you want to say... It's not a lot of Jewish barbers. Just only one guy I know, a Sephardi guy, who's the barber. So I don't know. Maybe he doesn't do those kinds of haircuts. I don't know. I cannot tell you, but they cannot do it. Okay.